New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. The Apostle Peter said, when asked by Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the rock, of course, is Christ, ladies and gentlemen, "upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Also, I'm thankful for the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew and verse 18, where Jesus said, "All authority or all power hath been given unto me." As we look at the Word of God, there's no power for presidents. There's no power for bishops and cardinals and popes and pastors. There's no power for men and women. There's only power in Christ. Jesus said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." The reason why there's such a so-called divided Christendom in the world today is because people are following men, the doctrines of men. But if we follow the truth, and the truth alone, we'll all believe the same thing, practice the same thing, belong to the same body. When we have no creed but Christ, we'll be united. When we have no book but the Bible, apart from biblical denominational interpretation, then we'll be united in that one glorious church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We're dealing with another miniseries entitled, "The World's Greatest Revival." And as we've been dealing with the second chapter of the book of Acts, where we have described the world's greatest revival, what happened in Acts chapter 2 changed the world. You're going to be judged on the basis of the message preached first, as it's revealed in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the day of the kickoff of the world's greatest revival. Mankind will be judged based on this message preached under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the apostles. And so thank God for the clear description in Acts 2 of the world's greatest revival. The world's greatest revival, as we've previously pointed out, had the world's greatest preparation program prepared by God before the foundation of the world. Read Revelation 13:8, and then read God's further preparation in the garden when He told the devil that the seed of the woman would bruise his head, talking about what Christ was going to do to the devil. The Lord further provided and prepared for the world's greatest revival through the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Malachi. And so the world's greatest revival had the world's greatest preparation program. It also had, as the world's greatest revival, the world's greatest occasion for its beginning. It was held on that glorious day of Pentecost, the day the Jews came from around the world. That was the day that Joel's prophecy was fulfilled, that whosoever would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. The world's greatest revival witnessed the preaching of the world's greatest preachers, non-compromising preachers such as we need today. I'm thankful for pioneer preachers that will preach the truth. Those of you that are listening that are preachers, I pray that you'll be courageous, that you'll be loyal, pioneer preachers. Don't go along with modernism and the popular trends of our time. Go back to the old paths. Go back to first century preaching. Don't simply be a conformist in this century. Go back to the first century and preach the message proclaimed there first on the day of Pentecost. And so thank God for the world's greatest preachers that preached on the birthday of the church. Then the world's greatest revival witnessed the world's greatest message being proclaimed. The apostles preached the death and the burial and the resurrection. And then the world's greatest revival witnessed the world's greatest results. It's wonderful to have a revival meeting and to have a crusade and have results. I can remember earlier on, even in our ministry, back in the 50s, late 50s and 60s, it was nothing to have 20 or 30 or 40 or maybe even 100 responses to the invitation. But now it seems as though the world is starting to work on the church, is working around the clock. Satan is busy constantly, and it's increasingly more and more difficult to have a big revival meeting. But the power is still in the gospel. And if we preach the gospel, there's going to be results, and souls are going to be won. My, what wonderful results. As we look back here at the day of Pentecost, the day of the world's greatest revival. At the end of the Apostle Peter's preaching to the ones that were gathered at the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, he said, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Listen to what Peter said. Peter at the end of his sermon said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. My, what an accusation to make against his countrymen. As a matter of fact, earlier they had said, crucify him, crucify him. Later Jesus, before he died, said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do, but they crucified their Messiah and their Savior, and we can crucify him afresh by not living for him. And after they had been convicted and challenged and told about what they had done to their Messiah, the Bible teaches that they were pricked, touched, cut to the heart. Listen to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, the Bible teaches that the many Jews present heard the Apostle Peter say, you've crucified your Messiah. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. The King James uses the word prick, which means pierce or cut. They were cut to the heart to learn what they had done to Jesus. And they said to Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Bible friends, why do we not hear this answer given to people that are inquiring about salvation? How many preachers do you hear give the same answer that the Bible gives? In order to find out what to be saved, according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit, we go to the only book that gives examples of people being converted under the terms of the gospel, and that is the Holy Bible, Book of Acts. The Book of Acts deals with some of the acts of some of the apostles and has example after example after example of how people were saved. And on this great day of Pentecost, when Peter accused them of killing their Messiah, they were cut to the heart. I thank God for preachers that will preach even if it cuts to the heart. I thank God for preachers that will preach the truth even if it stomps all over an individual, if it stomps on toes. I remember it used to be said, if you're not stomping on my toes, you're not doing me any good. Now people get mad if you stomp their toes. But I thank God for toe-stomping preachers in love that'll tell the truth. And Peter stomped on their toes when he told them they'd crucified the Messiah. And when they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This would be absolutely, undeniably clear and plain were it not for the notions and the ideas that preachers and churches have put in men's hearts and men's minds about salvation. If someone just plainly, nakedly, with an open mind came to the Scriptures and asked, what must I do to be saved? And they were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If people simply took the Bible at all times of the day and night, when they wanted to obey the gospel, they'd believe in Christ and repent, and they would be immersed, baptized in some stream or some river or creek or some body of water, buried with him, the Bible says, in baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life. The Bible says in John 3:23, John was baptizing at Enon near Salem, for there was much water there. You remember Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Many people won't agree with this, but it ties in with all of the other scriptures. For instance, when Jesus said, "Except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." That's the same as Acts 2:38. That's the same as Mark 16:16. That's the same as Matthew 28:18-20. That's the same as Titus 3:5. That's the same as Hebrews 10:22. It's the same as 1 Peter 3:21. Peter said, on the day of the world's greatest revival, he gave the answer to the people that asked what to do, and the results constituted the world's greatest results. They were told to repent and be baptized, every one, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and that they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 39, Peter continues, "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." On the day of the world's greatest revival, they witnessed the world's greatest results. The question was asked, "What shall we do?" They were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter went on and preached more fully to them, and that day a tremendous thing took place. The ones that gladly received his word were immersed. That word baptized doesn't mean sprinkle or pour. It means exclusively immerse. It always means immerse. The apostles were not sprinkled or poured when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. My friends, and they were not sprinkled. They didn't have water poured on them. That is not biblical baptism. Biblical baptism is the immersion of a adult, someone that's old enough to make his or her own decision. They do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here, about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. Can you imagine being in an old-fashioned baptismal service where 3,000 were baptized for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit? Every one of the 3,000 was baptized for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That would ring through the minds of those people. No wonder the church grew to thousands and then millions and then tens of millions. And then later in Colossians, the Bible says every creature under heaven had heard. My, what a revival, this world's greatest revival. We'll close now with a prayer. Tune in next week. God bless every one of you. Father, thank you for Jesus, for the plan of salvation, for this world's greatest revival, and help it to be reborn in the hearers today by their obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.